Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues a series entitled, The Destiny of Humanity. Some 4,000 years ago, there was a man in the land of Canaan, known only as the eldest servant of Abraham. He was the steward of Abraham's growing cattle operation and exercised control over his gold, silver, workers, and animals. One day he was given the task of traveling to the city of Haran and finding a wife for Isaac. The problem was that he had no address or description of the people he was seeking, but he agreed to go in faith anyway. Isaac was overjoyed with Rebekah, and they were a happy couple until death separated them. This is the chronicle of the nameless servant who believed God for the impossible and achieved his goal in splendid fashion. This message is entitled, Abraham's Faithful Servant. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Well, praise the Lord and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And I'm glad to have you here for a message today on the destiny of humanity. And I'm going to be speaking to you about Abraham's faithful servant. Every human being is created in the image of God and precious in the sight of the Lord. Every one of you in the chapel, every one of you watching or listening, if it is now or later, you are not an accident. You must say, well, I don't even know who my parents are. I was conceived out of wedlock. Mom was drunk when she had me. Whatever it is, there are no accidents. God has designed each one of us. And we are precious in his sights. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to set the captives free. And he's doing just that. I want to take you to Genesis chapter 15. And I have never preached on this particular person before. He's anonymous as far as I'm concerned. He's called the servant. And in Genesis 15:2, we read the following. And Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me you have given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is my heir. At this time, prior to the birth of Isaac, was a man, Eliezer of Damascus. And he was a steward. Now, Abraham had about 1,000 people that he employed. He was a moving cattle ranch. They moved in tents. They had cattle. They had cows. They had horses. They had camels. They had donkeys. They had sheep. And they were simply moving their flocks in the land of Canaan that was not that populated at that time. And when the grass, when they'd eaten up the grass in one area, they moved to the next one. So Abram had, this guy was running his operation. They all lived in tents. 40 years later, Isaac now is 40 years old. We're moving up now to Genesis chapter 24. Genesis, the 24th chapter. And God has been speaking to Abraham, I don't want Isaac to marry a Canaanite woman. I want him to marry someone that has the same faith, that believes in the real God, the God of the creation. Have you read the first four verses here? And Abraham was old and well stricken in age. And the Lord had blessed Abram in all things. And Abram said unto his eldest servant of his house, the root of all they had, put, I pray you, your hand under my thigh. Notice now, no name. The eldest servant of this house. It is obvious that Abraham did not write this account. He did not go. There's only one person that could have written this account. That is a servant. He did not want to take credit. He didn't put his name in there and said, you know, well, I'm the one that got Isaac his wife. I'm the one that was faithful to this and that. This man was a humble man, a faithful man, a powerful man. And he didn't need to toot his own horn. He was secure. And he was a servant. And Abraham said, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that you shall not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among where I dwell. But you shall go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son, Isaac. Now, the servant simply got an assignment. This is a tough assignment. In verse 5 we read, and the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman would not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I need bring your son again unto the land from where you came? He said, now, if I can't find someone over there, do I bring Isaac over there? And Abram said, no. Beware that you bring not my son thither again. Do not go back where you came from. To the drunkard, don't go back to the bars. To the person hooked on pornography, don't go back to the porn sites. Don't go back to Egypt. Don't go back to where you were defeated. Move on. Stay in the promised land. God wants us to stay in the promised land and not to go back to the old territories. And let me read here, for I'm going to read down to verse number 8. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house, and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and I swear to me, saying, unto your seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before you. You shall take a wife unto my son from thence. And the woman will not be willing to follow you, then you shall be clear. From my oath, only bring up my son thither again. Supernatural. Abraham said, I'm going to have an angel go. He's going to go. God said, I will send an angel. You and I have the opportunity to release the power of angels. We cannot tell them what to do. But we can ask God to send them out. And this is the time now where they had no internet, no telephones, no telephone books, no GPS. I mean, you know, where would you find somebody in a city, a couple of 100,000 people living there? You don't know the last name. You have no pictures of them. You don't know how they look like. And Abraham says, I want to go back and find, you know, my family. It would take something natural. This servant was a believer in God. He believed in the future Messiah. In Genesis 17, I'm not going to turn there, but in Genesis 17, verses 10 through 14, you find that Abram had everyone circumcised, every man was circumcised. So, in the family of Abraham, they were Chaldeans, they were from other places, but they all had become one faith. And let me say this. There is no Jewish race. Doesn't exist. We have Jewish faith, a religion, but there is no race. Abraham was a Chaldean. Most of his people were Chaldeans. He had some other people there. There were other people added over the years. So this is a family of faith, believing in the real God. In verses 9 and 10, and his servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore him concerning that matter. So he simply said, I'll take that oath, put his hand under his thigh, and he took an oath and swore, I will do exactly what you told me to do. I'm going to shoot to the scripture here, and now I'm going to quote it. In John 14, no, I'm not going to quote it. I'm going to turn to it. I don't want to be wrong. We're not going to have any Frankensteins here today. John chapter 14. That's an inside joke that I will have from now on. John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. This servant loved Abraham. Abraham said, would you swear to do what I told you to do? He said, I will. He was a faithful servant. Verse number 10. And a servant took 10 camels out of the camels of his master. Notice now, he had no personal possession. As a servant, he owned nothing. But he was a manager of everything. That's you and I. You and I own nothing. You must say, well, I got a deed to my car. Might be. It's not your car. It's God's car. You must say, well, I got a title to my house. No, it's God's house, God's property. Because I tell you what, when you leave this earth, you're going to leave it all behind. Even your credit cards. You will get a new credit card in heaven, but I'm not going to get into that right now. It's a white stone with your name written on it. So we're going to have nice currency in heaven. You can never overcharge that card. It's just whatever you need. But understand this. We are stewards, managers. In my early years, I was stingy. I come from a poor family. I remember we had dinners. The food was divided up. Each one of us got one piece of meat. We could eat more potatoes, but one piece of meat. At night, you got one slice of cheese. That's it. If you had some bologna salami, you got one slice. That's it. That's how we were raised. We didn't have a lot. I was stingy. I did not give a whole lot. Didn't like to give. I like to take. Over the years, God made me into a giver. It's a joy. Now, poor people cannot give. I'm not saying I'm rich, but I got some money because I got a salary. And it's a joy. You know what? When you see somebody have a need and they can't afford it, and you say, yeah, I'll take care of that. I'll pray for that. I give that. Remember this, we are stewards, managers. We own nothing. We have access to it now, but it's not going to stay with us. Somebody else will have it. So his servant took 10 camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hands. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, unto the city of Nahor, which is also the city of Haran. So he prepared himself. And he simply had some armed servants with him. He had some gold. He had some other things. And he simply set out. Now, he did not linger. It's another thing. We linger. This servant didn't say, okay, when do you want me to go, Abraham? Next year? 3 months from now? What do you want me to do? Abraham told him, now. Now is the time. He took off. Was his servant married? We don't know. Most likely he was. But he didn't take his wife with him. He simply was on a mission. Now, look at the next headline. Praying for a divine appointment. Now, Nahum was a large city with tens of thousands of people. Where do you find somebody? It would have taken him maybe a year to go straight up and straight down to find out the family of Abraham. Notice now, this servant was led by the Holy Spirit. This servant also had intelligence. This servant used logic. When he came to the city, this is before they had water pipes and stuff like we have today. He simply was led to go to the center place of the city, the well, or the place where they had the water. Because the custom was that the women, particularly the young women unmarried, their job was every evening to go and bring water back to the different households. So this servant said, I do notice that the woman I want is going to be at the water well. So that's when I'm going to park my camels. And then he decided to pray. Most of us pray when everything else has failed, right? While we've done everything we can, let's pray. You ever heard that? Well, when do we pray first and everything else can fail? And we come in now, verse 11. And he made the camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God, of my master Abraham, I pray you, send me good speed this day, show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water. The daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down your pitcher, I pray you that I might drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give your camel drink also. Let the same be she that you have appointed for your servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that you have showed kindness unto my master. Specific prayer. This is what I want. Now, I did write here, in this here, that the camel drinks. I have that on the other page here. It drinks about 53 gallons of water. So this lady would have to pump 530 gallons to feed 10 camels. That's a lot of water. Having a pitcher about the size of a gallon, that's going 530 times to get the water. Specific. Divine appointments. We're going to keep your fingers there and turn to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. We're going to pick it up in verse number 15. We talk about the mustard seed. I'm not going to, because of time here, I will not be able to read the whole thing. But we had here a person that was a son. His son was demonized. And they said, and the father said this, verse 16, and I brought him to your disciples. They could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured for that very hour. And his disciples Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said to them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I said to you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place. It shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goes not out but by prayer and fasting. How small is the mustard seed? So small you can barely see it. Like a chia seed. If you ever seen a black chia seed? Very tiny. That's the seed of a mustard seed. And Jesus said, that's how much faith you need to move a mountain. So this servant, he had faith like a grapefruit. Now, removing mountains. Let's turn that to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. And this is a great verses here. In verse 22 of Mark 11, and Jesus answering said to them, Have faith in God, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say to this mountain, Be removed, be you cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that they'll think which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Therefore I said to you, what things ever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Let's go back to 2016. Actually, early in 2015. Remember the day you saw the elevator in the Trump Tower in New York? And you saw Donald Trump coming down with his wife to announce his presidency. Remember that? Remember the press said, What an idiot. He's not going to make it. Remember, I believe there was 15 other contenders, Republicans. Remember the lineup they had? Remember lying Ted, this guy, you know. And the only one in the room that was from Pennsylvania, I believe, was at Ohio. He said, I'm the only adult in the room. Remember those days? And for some reason, Donald Trump aced them all out against the odds because someone was praying. Thousands of Christians were praying. Then the convention, contentious. After the convention, he can't make. Remember all the stuff thrown, all the stuff today, all disaster. He's out of the race. But you know what? He made it, and he was elected. Hillary had a breakdown. And then remember, they were going to try with the Electoral College. They were trying to do all kind of different things. Remember the million women or people that came to Washington, D.C. to simply show, you're not going to make it. But if the next 2 years now, we have seen this man propelled by a power, doing things, putting conservative judges in different kind of branches, hundreds of them. And do you know that he has a staff? There is a judiciary organization, a Christian judiciary organization, and they are the ones that supply him with the names. Because he doesn't know. That's why Schumer said, we don't like this guy. He was selected by a bunch of Christians. Yes, he was. We pray for the impossible. And we do the possible. So I really want you to see, this is why I'm excited what is going to happen in our ministry, what God's going to do with us and helping us. And we're going to be part of the fight that is coming. And we're going to see some victory. Let's go back now to the message again. So we're going to go back to Genesis, to chapter 24. And by the way, on the outline there, I have Abraham's family tree. You can actually see that. You can see all the people, where they came from, and so on. And it's kind of nice to have. So I said here now, a needle in the haystack. So before he finished praying, I'm in verse number 15 now. Genesis 24:15. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, was born to Bethuel. You see Bethuel there, the family tree. And he was the son of Nahor, was the son of Terah, and the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abram's brother, with a pitcher upon her shoulder. Can you picture this woman now? She was beautiful. Young woman, probably in her early 20s, walking with the pitchers. You see them do that. Sometimes they put a pitcher on the head, going out there, you know. Just the daily routine. She does not know that she had been assigned an angel that told her. That angel simply looked at her watch and simply say, synchronized it with the angel of the servant. And they simply talked on the radio and said, okay, you got your man there? Yeah, my man is here. Okay, here comes the woman. And they meet up. And here is the servant praying, oh, God, this is what I want. He looked up, and there's a woman. Boom. Before we finish our prayers many times, God will answer. I got to get this prayer in for my Isaiah 65:24. I want you to have that. That's Isaiah 65. And let's see. That's 65:24. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. That goes for you and me. When we pray, God says, you know, I will start answering right now. We need to have faith and beginning to say, I believe that this is going to happen. Now, picture this now. Here's this beautiful woman coming up. And there with a picture. Here's a servant. Camel's here. He's just standing there, you know, just watching. Now, he couldn't be intimidated and say, yeah, well, you know, I don't want to scare the woman off. What do I do? You are bold. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin. Neither any man known her. She went down to the well and filled the pitcher and came up. The servant now ran up to her and said, let me, I pray you, drink a little water of your pitcher. He was following his prayer. He didn't say anything else. And when she had done giving a drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels also, until they done drinking. I want you to see Rebecca now. I mean, this is a miracle. Here's a woman coming up. She sees 10 camels. She computes. They need a lot of water. It's going to take me about, if I volunteered that, it's going to take me 4 hours to get this water to these camels. But for some reason, she's motivated. And she simply says, buddy, I can give you a drink. And not only that, but I will take care of your camels too. Boom. She's the one. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher in the throat, ran again to the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. And the man wondering at her held his peace. He didn't say a word. He probably said, wow, did God answer that prayer? To wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. He waited until the camels were all watered. You see, sometimes you have to wait a little bit, not just shoot for the hip. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring a half of a shekel's weight of 2 bracelets for hands, and 10 shekels weight of gold. He simply said, you know, I'm going to reward you. And said, whose daughter are you? Tell me, I pray you. Is there room in your father's house for us to lodge in? And she said to him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which you bear unto Nahor. She said, moreover to him, we have both straw and provender, enough of room to lodge in. And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. He took action. The camel drank. He learned who the woman was. And then he worshipped. This is something that we don't do too often. We pray about this, we pray about that. But we need to worship and thank the Lord when he heard our prayers. And the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not left destitute my master's mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord had led me to the house of my master's brethren. If you can believe to have faith, if you can just make the decision of faith, God will direct your steps. I tell you how I used to buy cars. I used to simply look at things, check them out, do all kind of different things. The last car we bought was back in 2009. Somebody rear-ended Ina, stole the car, was totaled out. And I needed to buy her car. So I had the insurance that I'd saved up. It was going to be my truck. And God said, use the money to buy your wife a car. So my brother came to me. He said, John, if you're going to buy a car, buy a Toyota. I said, I don't like Toyotas. I don't like Japanese cars. He said, that's what the Lord told me to tell you. So I thought about it, prayed about it, and I said, well, yeah, I'm going to buy a Toyota. Now, I didn't want to go to some of these dealerships, you know, where you hassle, you know, when they come out, you know, you got first a guy, you know, then they got a second guy, then they got a manager in the back room, you know, they work, you'd massage you. So I simply decided I'm going to go to CarMax. Because CarMax, there's a price, there's no haggling. You look around a lot, tell what you want, and then they make a deal with you. The deal is you pay what they said, what the price was. So I walked in with Ina, and got a guy come out. He said, well, I'm looking for a Toyota. I want to have a Toyota Camry, not too old, about a year old. He said, you got about 20 of them over here. I said, really? They had them lined up, 2 lines. So I said, God, what do you want me to do? He said, just walk down the line, and I tell you. I walked down the line. The third car, the Lord said, that's it. I told the salesman, I'm buying that car. Hadn't even tried it. Haven't even looked inside of it. He says, fine, got the paperwork. You want to try it? Yeah, we can try it. So I bought the car. I found out it was a very nice car. 5,000 miles on it. And we've had it almost 10 years now. Very little, no, almost no repairs on it. Runs like a clockwork. There'd be another time I bought cars, you know, try to hassle this and that. So what I'm trying to tell you is this. If you have the faith, God would tell you what to buy, when to buy, where to go, who to see, what to do. And I tell businessmen this. If God wants you to have a job, no one else can have it. If God does not want you to have that job, you can't get it even if you underbid it. But if you learn this, God has a plan for you. Don't move in the flesh. Move in the spirit. Amen. And the damsel, in verse 28 now, and the damsel ran and told her mother, her mother's house, do you things. And Rebekah had a brother, his name was Laban. And Laban went out to the man into the well. And it came to pass when he saw the earring, gold, and the bracelets about his sister's hands. And when he heard the words of Rebekah's sister saying, thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. Laban, a greedy dude. He's going to swindle Rebekah's son, Jacob, later on. He saw the gold. Hey, this man, come to our house. You're always going to have a Laban. They would try to take you for a ride. Always somebody mooching on you. Satan had lots of those guys. And the man came into the house, ungirded his camels, gave strong provender for the camels of water to wash his feet, and the men's feet that were with him. There was set meat before him to eat, but he said, I will not eat, as I have told my errand. Now, a servant, was he hungry? I'm sure he was. Could he smell the food? Of course he could smell the food. So he said, come on and sit down and eat. And the servant said, look, I did not come here to eat. I came here to do business. I'm a servant. I am doing the business for my master. You and I are the servants of the Most High. We are the King's servants. We are his ambassadors. We are here on a mission. And we need to prioritize what we do. Do King's business first, ours second. So then in the next few verses, he repeats the entire story again, what he did, and how he found Rebekah. And then we go down here to verse number 48. And I bowed down my head and worshiped the Lord, and blessed the Lord God of my master, Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. He said, God did it. There was a man, a number of years ago, his name was Laterno. Laterno was an earth mover. He designed scrapers. He was working actually with Benjamin Holt. He lived down in the Stockton area. And they designed earth-making equipment. This goes back in the 20s and 30s. And Laterno, as a businessman, he was saved, filled with the Holy Spirit on fire. And he made a deal with God. He said, God, you prosper me, and I will tithe every paycheck. He did. And God prospered him and prospered him. And finally, I turned and said, God, I don't need 90%. He never moved out of the house. He had a modest house. He still stayed in the same house. He said, God, I give you 90%. I live on the 10. 10% was lots of money for him. He said, heaven now. But here's what he did. He decided this. I'm going to do something of lasting value. Yes, he helped out to feed a lot of the poor. Yes, he helped a lot of people. But he went to Texas. He purchased land. He hired people. And he built a vocational school that is still there today, a Christian institution. And he simply put money in there and set it up in such a way that that school would be able to perpetuate itself. And he is now in heaven, have been there for 30, 40 years, and his money is still giving dividends on earth and getting people saved and coming to Jesus. They are working with missionaries. They help missionaries with airplanes. They work them with equipment and so on. He invested it. He didn't give it to his children, but he invested it in the kingdom of God. This is what you and I need to do. If you want maximum heavenly social security, invest it in such a way that when you leave this earth, it still is doing things in the kingdom of heaven. And then, after he identified himself, he asked for approval from the Father. In verse number 49, "And now if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me that I may turn the right hand or to the left." He said, "I'm not going to bargain with you. Give me an answer. Do I get Rebekah or do I not get Rebekah?" When God has spoken to you, don't bargain with people. You don't have them to bring you down to this side or that side. You simply say, "This is what God said. Here's the deal. Take the deal or leave the deal." That's pretty much how President Trump does it. If you don't like a deal, I'll walk away. We're going to have a good deal. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, "The thing proceeds from the Lord. We cannot speak unto you bad or good." They simply were speechless. They said, "This is God. Who are we? We are not going to stand in your way. Behold, Rebekah is before you. Take her and go, and let her be your master's son's wife, as the Lord had spoken." When God leads you to a place, when there is a divine appointment, everything will work out. Amen. It will work out into the smallest detail. If you're not in a divine appointment, it's going to be a mess. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, again he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. He simply said, "Lord, praise God." Are you one of these people that say praise the Lord often? Even when you are with unbelievers, do you say praise the Lord, hallelujah? That, thank you, Jesus. You know, we need to do that. We need to be more vocal. And I said, "Well, I can't say praise the Lord here because these dudes here, you don't know." That's what you say, praise the Lord. Let people know that you are a servant of the Most High God. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold, raiment, gave them to Rebekah. He gave them to her brother and to her mother's precious things. And they did eat and drink, and he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night, till they rose up in the morning. And he said, "Send me away up to my master." He had a meal. He stayed at night. In the morning, he said, "Now, time to go. I'm going." And her brother and her mother said, "Let the damsel abide with us a few days, at least 10. After that, she shall go." When you're in God's business, you don't bargain. You don't tarry. You simply do your business. You go on your way. And he said to them, "Hinder me not. See, the Lord has pressed my way. Send me away that I may go to my master." And they said, "We will call the damsel and inquire of her mouth." They tried to stall it. And they called Rebekah and said to her, "Will you go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." And they sent away Rebekah and her sister and a nurse and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, "You are a sister, be you mother of thousands and millions. Let your seed possess the gate of those which hate them." Has Rebekah been blessed? Yes. She's a lineage of Christ. She's the mother of millions of people. He simply moved on and said, no, we're going to move right now. You see, when God is moving, there's a time involved. And sometimes the devil says, well, if you just slow down a little bit or move up too fast. You don't want to go too fast. You don't want to go too slow. You want to walk with God. To not miss the opportunity. And Rebekah arose, and the damsels, she had several ladies with her, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. No hesitation. It was taking them probably a month or so to get back to Canaan's land. And Isaac came from the way of the well, Lahai-Roi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, behold, the camels were coming. Isaac had also faith. He could have simply said to his dad, Dad, you're not going to have someone pick a wife out for me. Are you nuts? I don't want to get an old lady, you know, with no teeth. I want to make sure I get something nice. But Isaac trusted God. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes when she saw Isaac. She lighted up the camel. She got out of the camel. For he said unto the servants, what man is this that walks in the field to meet us? And the servant said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. We don't know if there was a marriage ceremony there or not. It's very short. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Now, what can you and I learn of this story? It's a nice, romantic story. It's a fantastic story. But I want to take it to Matthew chapter 25. That's Matthew chapter 25. I was dating a number of ladies. Sometimes I dated two ladies at the same time. I'd have been different towns. To make sure if one was busy, I would have one on to be with that night. So I was a two-timer. But you know what? I had no intelligence at that time. I didn't know how to pick a wife. So God picked a wife for me. And I found my wife on the train, an electric train. I was riding back from home to go to college. She was riding from her home to go back to her workplace. And the electric train broke down, and we met on that train, and that was a divine appointment. I would not have made it if I married somebody else. So God has divine appointments for us. In Matthew 25:14-30, 2,160 years later, Jesus told us how he wants us to live. If you pick it up here in verse number 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling to far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Notice now, this man simply said, this guy can handle 5 talents. It would be like $500,000. This guy can handle that. This guy can only handle this. So you and I have been given what we can handle. Understand that. Then he that received 5 talents went and traded with the same, made them over out of 5 talents. He doubled it. Likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained all the 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth, hid his Lord's money. And at the long time, the Lord of the servants comes and reckons with him. And so he that had received 5 talents came and bought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, You lent to me 5 talents. Behold, I've gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said to him, Well done, you good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter you into the joy of your Lord. So God's given you stuff here on this earth. Some of you have given money. Some of you have given ability to play the piano, do this or that, to teach or whatever. You have talents. And you simply say this now, develop them. Have you developed your talents? Are you multiplying? And he also had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Behold, I gained 2 other talents beside them. And his Lord said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful of few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter you to the joy of your Lord. Notice in verse number 23 now, where Jesus said this, You've been faithful in a few things. You didn't have a whole lot, but you were faithful in those things. I'm going to make you ruler over many things. Hey, folks, we're not waiting for the 1,000-year kingdom. Amen. We're going to rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. It's time to think. If you want to have more than one small dog, you better start using your talents that you have right now. And multiply them, increase them, so that Jesus can say, you're a faithful servant. You didn't have a whole lot, but what you had, you did well with. I'm going to put you with a lot. So everybody had a chance. You don't have to be a billionaire to be good. You can have $10 and do well with $10 and be put over much. And then we read the sad story. That he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you, that you are a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the earth. Lo, there you have what is yours. I don't think this man was saved. He simply never developed his salvation. He simply dug a hole, put everything down there and said, hey, you know, I'll deal with that later. And are you here? You have it back. His Lord answered and said to him, You wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. You ought therefore to have put my money to the exchangers. And then my coming I would have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him. Give it to him which has 10 talents. For to everyone that has, shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that has not, shall be taken away even that which he has. And casting the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. God wants you and me to be saved. He wants us to prosper. He wants us to use our talents. Every one of you in the chapel, every one of you watching me or listening to me, if it is audio, video, God has put in you gifts, talents. There are some people that are gifted in business. Some people are gifted in ruling, administration. Some are gifted in teaching. Some are gifted with their hands. They can do things with their hands, create just about anything. Every one of us got a gift, if not 2 gifts. And the question is, are you developing your gifts? You start by getting born again. First you get saved. And you simply, if you're not saved, you're watching or listening, you start by saying, Father God, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. I need to be born again. I believe that Jesus died on the cross. Jesus came in and saved me. That's the first thing you need to do. Now you got the talent in your hand. It's there. Now develop it. But start walking, reading the Word, meeting other saints, Christians, and start walking and do what Jesus said. You might say, what do I do? Read the Bible that tells you what to do. You got instructions there. To those of you that are saved, have walked, some of you walked a long time, I want you to do an inventory today. How are you doing on your development? Do you have a development center? Are you developing your gifts? Are you multiplying? Are you building treasures in heaven? Are you busy just fiddling around? I try to challenge you today. Challenge you. We haven't had a lot to work with over the years. I started off with nothing. And matter of fact, the first piece of equipment we bought was a mimeograph machine, which is a stencils on it. And I remember that back in 1972 or so, that we were looking at a brand new mimeograph, $325. And that was like $30,000 today for me. And my brother and I and our wives, we scrammed up, got the money together. And we bought that thing. And I had written my stuff and we stood there. And we mimeographed it. And then we put them together in books. That's how I started in the ministry. With nothing. You take what you have. Don't wait until the guy comes and says, well, here's $1 million, you can do this. Take your $5 and say, I'm going to do something with $5. Start investing it. Develop what you have. Whatever you're told to do. If you're told to lead people to Christ, be part of a deliverance ministry, writing, calling, visit people in the hospitals. There's all kind of activities that needs to be done. But find your slot. And then develop it. Be the best there is to have in that slot. For to everyone that has should be given. He should have abundance. But for him that has not should be taken away even that which he has. You and I are rich. We live in America. We have food on the table, dwelling place, vehicles, clothes on our bodies. People in other places, they don't have that. We are rich compared to other people. Let's do something with it. Let's do something with the talent you have. So many of you are gifted writers. Some of you are gifted speakers. You know what? I'm going to say this. I'm going to close. God spoke to me a few weeks ago, month, whatever, and said, have Jesse come up and give a testimony. Why? I scared the daylight out of him. But he got up. And he stood up here and he gave his testimony. And it's a good one. He put it up on YouTube. He put it up himself. Had a lot of playing. And you know what? A number of people said, I identify with that. If God could do that for Jesse, he can help me. And Jesse, you're getting dividends sleeping with your video out there working for you. There's so many things we can do. Let's do them. If you're not saved, pray today. Charles is going to come as soon as I'm done here. As soon as we're done. Charles Clare will come on your screen, talk to you, and he will lead you to salvation. Get saved, and after that, contact us so we can plug you in. And to those of you that are saved, thank you for being part of Christian life, not Christian life, but Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. Thank you, and thank you for helping us to get our dog out there in the fight, because I have a good fighting dog. I just want him bigger. Let's feed him. He gets bigger and meaner. Praise the Lord. Here's Thomas.
Father God, thank you for this great, true story that we were able to go through today. And we thank you, Lord, that it was not a story that was never never told, but it was written down, and here we are chewing it up thousands of years later. That's a huge benefit. And we thank you for giving us the Word of God that will lead us and guide us into all truth. And we thank you for our many blessings, Lord. We, as it was stated by Pastor John, we are rich, and that's a fact. So we thank you for these blessings. Help us to take those talents that are given to us and multiply them. It's a lot of stress and, you know, issues that come each person's way on this journey through life. And sometimes you just want to give it up and quit. But we have to look to the Word and to the faithful servants that kept pushing forward, and not to the slothful servant that did nothing. So we thank you for the Word of God. Help us each one as we persevere in this daily life struggle. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7-8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the seventh part in the series, The Destiny of Humanity, and was entitled, Abraham's Faithful Servant. Some 4,000 years ago, there was a man in the land of Canaan, known only as the eldest servant of Abraham. One day he was given the difficult task of traveling to the city of Haran and finding a wife for Isaac. This was like finding the proverbial needle in the haystack. Yet God set up a divine appointment so that Rebekah unknowingly came out to meet Abraham's servant. We find that the Lord took care of the impossible, but the servant had to do his part as well. God rewarded the servant's faith, and Isaac was overjoyed with Rebekah. They were a happy couple until death separated them. However, this is not primarily a romantic story, but the chronicle of a faithful, nameless servant who believed God for the impossible and achieved his goal in splendid fashion. He did not know that in fulfilling Abraham's request, it made him a vital link in the lineage of the Messiah. This chief servant of Abraham intentionally withheld his name to bring the spotlight on God and give him all the glory. But rest assured that we will meet this man in heaven one day and know his name. There is no doubt that he will hold a prominent place in eternity. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1672. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address, once again, is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.